JTP Theatre presents Bite Size Theatre with Mickey Marvelow, written and read by Tony DeMail. Mickey is an accident-prone circus magician. The ringmaster drew himself up to his full 5'7" and overdramatically announced, "You're fired, Mickey," in that dreadful French accent he thought fooled everyone. Mickey looked at the ringmaster and shook his head. "Now don't be hasty, Mr. LeBlanc," he said. "The trick very nearly worked. I just need to use quicker setting cement, that's all."
"Mon Dieu, I have given you too many chances. You have to go," said the ringmaster,
before turning on the heels of his shining high boots and flouncing away. Mickey carried on chipping the set cement from Pinger the Clown's feet and tutted. "I don't know why you get so upset," he said. "Oi, Pongo, keep still if you want me to get you out of this." "It's Pingo," said the clown unhappily. That was Mickey, you see. He did tend to get things wrong. Mickey Marvelow, to give him his stage name, had been with us for a year. To tell the truth, I doubt he would have been taken on as the resident circus magician if not for a pretty freak series of events. First, the great Zandini drowned himself in the bath. It wasn't suicide, and there were bizarre rumours about the circumstances, but it did leave us without one of our star turns. Around the same time, we lost half our acrobats because they were extradited back to their home country, and the health and safety executive closed down our catering. Circus LeBlanc was suddenly not a terribly attractive employer, but Mickey didn't seem to mind and applied for the vacant magician role.
"It's a dream come true," Mickey said to me on his first day.
"Have you been a magician long?"
"A fortnight," he said.
I laughed.
"No, really," said Mickey in a low conspiratorial tone. "I told Mr. LeBlanc I've been at it for years, but I've only just given up plumbing. Of course, I have done the odd kid's party in my spare time. What do you do?"
I told Mickey I looked after the horses, and he asked if he could borrow one.
"Why?" "Because I've never had the opportunity to make one disappear. I've been pretty much confined to rabbits," he said.
That's when we had the first Mickey disaster. I got one of the horses, he set himself up, and I watched with the bearded lady and the dwarfs as he made it disappear before our very eyes. We were astonished. We applauded louder than I can ever remember because we're not easily impressed. The trouble was we never saw the horse again. He made it disappear and it never came back.
"Where's my bloody horse?" I asked him over and again.
"Honestly," said Mickey, "I haven't got a clue. Mind you, if I could just work it out, what an act, dear." He could pull off some astonishing illusions. Have you ever seen a lady sawn in two and then her bottom half run three circuits of the ring whilst her top half lay in a box on a table? Neither we until Mickey did it. And we had never seen anyone throw a knife at a board and tell it to stop in mid-flight. He almost brought the house down when he ran up to the knife, turned it to face the opposite way and then commanded it to fly back the way it had come. But whilst he could do some illusions really well, he would mess up others. I lost count of how many watches he'd taken from the audience, wrapped in a hanky, hit with a hammer and actually totally destroyed. He also had a really bad run on tearing up banknotes belonging to the audience and leaving them in hundreds of pieces that never went back together again. Then, when Mr. LeBlanc would be about to sack him, Mickey would pull off something so astonishing people would say he was worth the entrance money alone.
"What did you think of tonight, Bill?"
Mickey would ask me after every show.
"You nearly killed a high-wire performer with a chainsaw, Mickey."
"True, but wasn't it marvellous when I turned the chainsaw into a bunch of lilies?" And that was how it was for a year with Mickey Marvelow, until the night he pushed Monsieur LeBlanc too far.
"Ladies and gentlemen," shouted Mickey, "I will now attempt to set Pongo..."
"Pingo," said Pingo.
"To set this clown's feet in concrete and then levitate him 50 feet in the air to the very apex of this big top. Thank you."
Mickey ushered Pingo to his metal bowl of concrete and the clown stepped inside with a squelch.
"I shall need absolute quiet, ladies and gentlemen," said Mickey as he walked slowly around Pingo. "We need only to wait a few minutes for the cement to set and in the meantime I shall amaze you."
Mickey did a series of card tricks and sleight of hand illusions for a few minutes and the crowd were enthralled. Maybe I should have realised he'd got too many things right in a row and that things were bound to change.
He told the audience he would make several white mice appear from an empty box, but the circus cat emerged instead, licking its whiskers. Still, the audience just clapped and laughed, and Mickey waited for the applause to die down before speaking again. "Now," he said. "Pongo the clown? Pingo!" yelled a small child from the crowd. "Thank you," said Pingo. "This clown," continued Mickey, "will rise high above you, purely through the power of my magic." The lights dimmed. The drum roll commenced. Pingo looked mildly uncomfortable, and Mickey started to parade theatrically around, chanting his unintelligible magic words and waving his arms. Then slowly, Pingo began to rise off the ground, taking the set bowl of cement in which his feet were trapped. The crowd gasped. I gasped. Pingo was looking nothing short of astonished. Higher and higher he rose, and I shook my head. How was he doing this? I could see Pingo couldn't work it out, and he was the one in the air. Then, when Pingo was about 30 feet up, the bowl suddenly fell off his feet, hurtled groundward, hit one of the circus ponies on the head and killed it stone dead. Pandemonium ensued. There were no children under the age of 11 who did not see the execution of a cute pony as nothing short of the greatest disaster of their short lives. At least 200 of them burst into tears, and a number of older kids and parents followed suit. Monsieur LeBlanc rushed to the middle of the ring to attempt a restoration of calm, but the audience was stampeding for the exits. Bizarrely, Pingo was still about 30 feet up, just hovering with a big lump of concrete attached to his feet. "Bring him down, Mickey," I yelled. Mickey sort of shrugged, waved an arm in Pingo's direction, and the clown slowly descended to ground level. I ran over to help him free of the wires that had to have raised him, and found absolutely none. "How did you do it?" I asked Mickey. "I didn't mean to," he said. "I really like that pony." "Not that's the trick." And then we were enveloped in chaos, and it was some time before things were calm enough for Monsieur LeBlanc to say, "You're fired, Mickey." Once Pingo had all the cement chipped from his feet, he made a sharp exit, and I had the opportunity to ask the magician again, "How was it done, Mickey? There were no wires." Mickey winked at me. "Magic," he said. "Just magic, Bill." Monsieur LeBlanc didn't change his mind this time. Mickey asked him to, but he said the circus couldn't put up with Mickey anymore. I helped Mickey pack. Looking back on it now, I'm pretty sure he put 5 times as much as should have been possible into his little suitcase. I kept asking him what he would do, but he just said that something would turn up. "I've still got my magic," he said. "It doesn't always go right though, does it?" Mickey smiled. "Well, that's the nature of magic, Bill. Sometimes it works and sometimes..." "Yes?" "And sometimes I'm just not sure." Mickey put on his coat and picked up his case. "Thanks for everything, Bill," he said. "Oh, and I'm sorry about the missing horse and the pony and..." "You can't go without telling me how you do these things," I said. But Mickey just smiled and shook my hand. I never saw or heard of him again, but I can tell you this. I watched him walk away, and I can't be sure if he was lost in the fading evening light or if he actually disappeared into thin air. You've been listening to Mickey Marvelet, featuring Tony DeMail, with thanks to freesfx.co.uk for sound effects and music. You can follow JTP Theatre on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll be back next Tuesday with more on Thornbury Radio. Thornbury Radio.